We've turned now to Psalm 42 in the book of Psalms, and we'll consider together tonight the message of this psalm, Psalm 42. We read in the title, "To the Chief Musician." So this is emphasizing that it is a psalm for public worship. In some ways it's a very personal psalm, and the psalmist is talking about how down and depressed he is. And yet, depression is something that can affect us all, and we can all be down at times. And so it's beneficial to have psalms and to sing psalms which are a challenge to us in our depression, and in which we encourage ourselves to trust in God instead of being downhearted. It's called a maskil. Maskils are psalms of instruction. And the sons of Korah were Levites who led in the worship in Old Testament times. So the psalmist says, verse 1, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." So the psalmist here is comparing himself to a deer in a dry land, a land of drought, a land where the streams have dried up, the so-called wadis in these semi-desert kind of areas. And there's been drought, and the animal is in pain, looking for water. There's this sense of necessity. It has to find water or it will die. And the child of God is like that sometimes, panting after God, longing for Him, thirsting for Him. We can't do without God. We need Him. We need Him every day, just as we need water every day to drink. Our daily food, our daily drink. God is such. We need every day to come to God, to pray and to give thanks, to read His word. And if we don't pray and give thanks and read His word every day, then we're letting our soul get all dried up and to suffer from drought. As somebody said, there's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man and woman. And we need God inside us. We need God in us. Otherwise, there's something terribly missing. The unconverted person doesn't realize this, and they try different places to satisfy the need of their souls. As Jeremiah put it, they go to the broken cisterns that can hold no water. They go to the empty ponds, as it were, and the empty wells. And how many there are who try the pleasures of the world and so on to satisfy their soul. And yet when you come away even from the best entertainment, there's a kind of emptiness there, a kind of aching, a feeling that it's not really that satisfying. Whatever it is, whether it's some sport that you're watching, or some party or meal that you're taking part in, and really, it's not all that great. But there is one thing that is great, and that is God, and enjoying Him and being filled with Him and having His peace and His joy and His satisfaction. Every day then, we are to come to Him. Blessing comes from God. As the heart, as the hind, as the deer, pants after the water brooks, longing for water, so there's a thirst in me. He goes on to speak in verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him?" Do we thirst for God? We have a longing to know Him, to meet Him. to be conscious of His presence, to enjoy His blessing upon us. Are we thirsting for God? Or are we thirsting for other idols? Money, pleasure, power, fame, whatever it might be. My soul thirsteth for God, not for an idol, but for the living God, the living and true God, the mighty God, the saving God, the real God, the one who is in heaven above, the one who controls this earth. I thirst for God. Here we have then a mark of the Christian. The unconverted are dead in trespasses and sins. They don't feel the thirst. But then when God comes into our hearts and lives, there's a longing then. We are awake, we are alive, and we know that we need water. We need living water. We thirst for God. My soul thirsts for God. When shall I come and appear before God? Loving to be in God's presence. Longing to be there in church, worshipping God, at home in God's presence too, wherever we are, praying to God, reading, meditating, thinking about the things of God, delighting in God. And then verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So, it appears that there was some sadness in the psalmist's life at this time. We don't exactly know what it was. We're not told. And it doesn't really matter. We all know what it is to have sadness and sorrow at times. Maybe because of disappointments in our family and troubles. Maybe it's financial problems, problems at work. Maybe difficulties with our health. Different things that can trouble us and worry us. And sometimes tears are our meat night and day. Sometimes literally tears as people express their sorrow. But other times just that sadness that feels like tears always. And it's made worse by those who say, where is thy God? You say you're a Christian? Well, where's your Christianity? Where's your God? Where's the help that you should be getting? You say you're a Christian? Well, why are you like that? Why are you so down? Why are you depressed? And yet sometimes, well, we cannot help it, can we? We feel so down, so depressed. There's such difficulties, such problems. And then to add to it all, there's those pagans around us maybe who say, where's your God? Or there's Satan whispering in your ear and he's saying, where's your God? You're not a Christian. God doesn't care for you. You don't belong to Him. If you did, you wouldn't be going through these hard things. If you were a real Christian, life would be easy for you and everything would be great and wonderful and joyful. My tears are my meat. They're my food and drink. Day and night, continually. Sadness, sorrow, and people saying to me, where's your God? Where's your Saviour? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Happy memories. When I remember these things, and we can look back in our lives sometimes, and we can have very happy memories. We can think back to joyful days. And the psalmist here thinks of days when he went with a multitude and he went with them to the house of God and there were multitudes there and it was a great time of joy and praise and feasting and Israel had its three times a year of festivals. They had the festival or feast of unleavened bread. They had the feast of Pentecost, and they had the Feast of Tabernacles. And at these times they gathered in Jerusalem, and they gathered at the house of God, and the crowds of pilgrims came together from the different parts of the country, and there was joy and gladness and excitement. It was wonderful to be involved in it. But now he's cut off. He's not able to go to God's house. Because of illness, because of banishment, because of enemies, for one reason or another, he can't go there. And we can have great sadness too when, if we are not able to come and to worship with God's people, if illness or old age or infirmity or whatever it is keeps us away. And we also have sadness when we think of better days and we think of great times, maybe communion times and times when there were crowds of people in the church, and then when the church was united, and now the church seems so broken and into little groups, and there seems to be so few in the church, and that grieves us and hurts our hearts. We think of these days of joy and praise for the hundreds and thousands that gathered to worship God. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down within me? Wherefore wilt thou? Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar or Mitzar. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. The godly psalmist said these words, so we shouldn't be too surprised if we sometimes have to say, my soul is cast down within me. When I remember thee, when I think of God, from the land of Jordan, perhaps this psalm was written by David. Some people think it was, and that it was written by him when, remember, Absalom had rebelled against his father, and David had to cross over the Jordan. Maybe it was written by David, although there's no mention of David. Or perhaps some of the sons of Korah were with him when he was banished from Jerusalem. And maybe one of these, the chief musician, wrote this psalm. We don't know exactly what it is, but we can think of him in the, or whoever the author of the psalm is, maybe at the Jordan or in the north towards the Hermonites on the hill Mizar. We don't know where this hill Mizar was, or Mitzar. It means little mountain. And there would seem to be a contrast between Mizar, the little mountain, and the Mount of the Lord at Jerusalem, going up to the Mount of God, the great Mount of blessing and happiness and joy, the Mountain of the Lord. And here I am in my little mountain, as it were, in my little hill, in my poor, pathetic situation, cut off from God's house, cut off from the Mountain of the Lord. My soul is cast down within me. I remember better days. And as I remember these times and better days, I am cast down. And then, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. It would appear that he's at the Jordan, north of the Sea of Galilee. He's looking at the cataracts and the flood of the Jordan. And sometimes there can be tremendous water coming down when it's the rainy season, or the snow on Mount Hermon has melted, and the Jordan is in full spate. There's a dry land in Israel. I remember myself being in Nazareth, and one day, and the rain coming down in torrents, and The street was just a river of water running down the street. And so you think of all that water gathering in the Jordan, and it seems like one deep reaching into another, these deep places where you can drown. The water spouts, the cataracts, the waves, the billows, as it were, going over the psalmist. He's feeling as if he's there in the Jordan, and waves of trouble coming over him, and he's sinking. He's not able to get his feet. He's going under. The billows have gone over my head. I wonder, do you sometimes feel that in your own experience, that deep calls to deep? It seems it's one deep after another. And the waves going over your head, and you're just longing to find salvation, longing to find peace, longing to find hope and assurance and comfort, but thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And yet, at the same time, it's important to notice how he's praying. Verse 6 begins, O my God. And he's telling God about it. And that leads on into verse 7. All thy waves and God's billows are going over me. Remember on Sunday night how we were talking about the Israelites and how they were groaning and sighing in their slavery in the land of Egypt, longing for deliverance. But God was hearing their groans and their sighs. And the psalmist here cries out to God, and God hears. God is there. Wherever we are, even although we are beyond Jordan, even if we are in the land of the Hermonites and at the hill Miser, even although we're surrounded by pagans and heathen who are saying, where is your God? Remember, God is there. Wherever we go, he is there. Take I the morning wings and dwell in utmost parts of sea. Even there, Lord, shall thine hand me lead, thy right hand hold shall me. From thy spirit, whither shall I go, or from thy presence fly? Ascend I heaven, lo, thou art there, there if in hell I lie. Wherever we go, God is there. God is everywhere present. We can call to him, and he hears. We can call in our home, we can call in the street, we can call wherever we are, and the Lord hears, and the Lord answers. God is there. He's never far from any one of us. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. This word loving kindness is also the same word as grace. It's covenant faithfulness. God will command his grace in the daytime. Grace for grace. Again, remember, on Sabbath morning, grace for grace. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we have received out of his fullness, and grace for grace. The Lord will command. He will send his loving kindness in the daytime and even in the night. I shall have a song to praise God with. A song of praise because of his goodness to me. Yes, this poor man cried, God heard and saved him from all his distresses. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. How many promises there are in the Psalms for us, and right throughout Scripture. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord will command his loving kindness. I seem forsaken. I feel forsaken. The world around me says, God has forsaken you. But God himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life, the God who gave me life, the God who sustains my life, the God who gives me eternal life. For he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life. Complete dependence on God. In verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? God is my rock. I have a rock. I have a foundation. I can stand upon it. I'm safe. I'm secure. Everyone around me, they can be sinking in sinking sands and mires or bogs or whatever, but I have the rock. I stand upon it. God is my rock. I know God. He's with me. He's revealed himself to me in his word, and I stand upon that rock. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ also. That great foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I will say to God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why are you not answering my prayers? Why am I not being delivered? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I have these enemies. I have Satan particularly oppressing me. I have the flesh within me oppressing me. The world around me oppressing me. Troubles oppressing me. Why go I mourning? Why am I left in the state of mourning? Lord God, you are my rock. You have said, I will never forget you. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me with thy kindness, with thy loving kindness, and thy tender mercy. Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. God reigns. God is in control. And all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. It's sharp, it's painful, it's deadly. Death in my bones, the sword in my bones. And what is this sword in my bones? My enemies reproaching me. When they say daily unto me, where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your religion? Where's your salvation? Where's your joy? Where's your peace? Where's your assurance? God has left you. Remember Job and the troubles that came to Job. And he lost his wealth and his possessions and his family and his health. And his so-called friend said to him, you're a terrible man. You must be a very wicked man, because God has turned against you and God's brought all these troubles upon you. You must be an awful man. Where is your God? And what a sword it was in Job's bones to hear that from those around him. Where is my God? It can be hard for us. And sometimes we find it difficult to be bright witnesses on the Lord's side. And sometimes maybe we let the cause down. And the enemy is able to say to us, where is your God? And that's painful. It's just a sword in our bones. And then verse 11. It's almost as if the psalmist is giving himself a lecture. He's telling himself off. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Well, on the surface there may seem many reasons why we are cast down. There might be many things that are causing us depression and anxiety and worry and fear. And yet, what right has any one of us to be cast down? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice always. Not rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Not rejoice in the Lord most of the time. But rejoice in the Lord always. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I have no right to be cast down. I mustn't be cast down. Why art thou disquieted and troubled and bothered within me? Hope thou in God. There's the answer. Hope in God. Pray to God. Trust in God. Look to God. Rest in God. Rely upon Him. For I shall yet praise Him. I will praise Him because He has delivered me, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Think of David having to flee from Jerusalem and being cursed by Shimei, and in all his worries and anxiety. And yet, the day comes when he is restored to Jerusalem and to his throne and to his old position. I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance. Think of Daniel. Daniel witnessing on the Lord's side, and he's cast into the den of lions. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The next morning he's brought out, and his enemies are cast to the lions. Whatever it is that's troubling us, whatever disquiets us, hope in God. I shall yet praise Him. I certainly will, because I have a great future, because God loved me from all eternity, and Christ died for me on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has come to live in my heart. I've got a great future because it's God's future for me, and Christ has gone to prepare a place for me, and the best is yet to be, and there is a wonderful future. Whatever lies before, God will help me through it. And whatever lies before, even if it's illness and death, yet there is the promised land beyond death. I shall yet praise Him, and I will praise Him throughout the endless ages of eternity, who is the health of my countenance, who gives health to my face, who makes a smile come across my face, who is my light and my saving health, who is my shalom, who is my peace, who gives wholeness and everything I need to me. The health of my countenance and my God. Where is thy God? Well, He's there. And He's not far away. And He's there to help us. And He's there to answer our prayers. And whatever the enemy says, we have a God. A God who will never leave us nor forsake us. A God who promises. Can a mother forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, even they may forget, yet will I not forget you, saith the Lord. So, this is a psalm where the psalmist was going through hard times, difficulties, troubles, discouragement. He had much to get him down, and his soul was feeling down, but he encourages himself in the Lord, and he rejoices that there is a God, and he puts his trust in God, and he knows that he shall yet praise Him, who is the health of his countenance and his God. Let's pray.